Shakespeare's greatness as a playwright. Two theories have been offered to explain the greatness of Shakespeare. The romantic critics hold that in him all came from within, and that we owe his place to the overmastering power of his genius alone. Practical and unimaginative men, however, assert that in Shakespeare all came from without. He lived in a play loving ease. He studied the crowds, gave them what they wanted, and simply reflected their own thoughts and feelings. Probably the truth of the matter lies between these extreme views. Of the greatness of the genius, there can be no question. But his genius was certainly saved and enriched by external influences. Two outward influences were most powerful in developing his genius: the little village of Stratford and the great city of London. In Stratford, they learned to know the natural man in his natural environment. In London, he learned to know the social and the artificial man in the most unnatural of surroundings. The variety of his gifts. Shakespeare's greatness and preeminence as a dramatist are universally recognized. But wherein does this preeminence lie? There is indeed hardly any glory of Shakespeare's drama which might not be masked by some other play of the period. Every element in Shakespeare's dramas might, in isolation, be masked by the best of his contemporaries. What is distinctive about Shakespeare is his combination of all the gifts which were scattered in the works of other playwrights of his time. He is superior to others by his many-sided curiosity and the extreme diversity of his talent. His genius was flexible to a marvelous degree. He adapted himself to the most diverse material and seemed to use it all with equal skill and enthusiasm. Into his narrative poems, Banos and Adonais, and The Rape of the Locrish, he poured all his love for lyrical beauty and command of rhymes. While his plays cover and indeed go beyond every dramatic classification, as known, national history, tragedy, comedy, romances, and fairy plays. But these categories do not suffice to show the variety of even his early plays. The word comedy includes plays so different as Love, Labour's Lost, and Comedy of Errors, one being a fantasy consisting of sparking dialogue, fireworks, and wordplay, and the other being a farce with an involved plot. No two of his dramas of English history have the same shape or a like moment. His great tragedies, Othello, Lear, Macbeth, and Hamlet, are differentiated by such astonishing variety of kind, presentment, and dramatic moment that hardly any one formula fits them all. This diversity is to be found everywhere in Shakespearean drama. He shows equally aptitude for the tragic and the comic, the sentimental and the burlesque, lyrical fantasy and character study, portrayals of women and of men. Characterization. Besides his variety, Shakespeare's capital gift was certainly that he could depict characters, both historical and imaginary, with a surpassing vividness. The power he wielded easily, naturally, spontaneously, without ever giving an impression of effort. From the beginning, there is life in all his characters, but as he advanced towards maturity, his characters came to be more worldly, outlined, and more complex. His characters differ in sex, is state of life, virtues, and vices, but all of them are alike in being alive. Their verse may be short, they may have to speak only some 20 lines of verse, they are made unforgettable. He created a multitude of living characters as have never been created by any other writer. His characters are at once living and true, whether good or bad, whether moving among the realities of history or among the most romantic happenings, his characters possess as unfailing humanity and a striking realism. Rosaline, Portia, Juliet, Cleopatra, Caesar, Brutus, Orlando, Shylock, Falstaff, Touchstone, Not to mention the great tragic heroes, indeed the catalogue is endless. The epic quality of Shakespeare's drama. Shakespearean drama is as most epical as romantic. His 6 dramas of English history and 3 Roman tragedies, together with Hamlet, Lear and Macbeth, which are based on legendary chronicles, accepted as genuine history by him and his public. From such a whole as is found nowhere else, and constitute the solid bulwark of Shakespearean drama. The plays devoted to national history the most plainly connect his work with the old religious drama, of which the original object was not mere pleasure, but instruction and moral improvement. His theme in this historical plays is country instead of faith. He imparts knowledge of history as those old poets taught religion. The plays are continuous history of England over a long period, the whole 15th century. Foreign war with its triumphs and disasters, years of prosperity and misery, glory and shame, princes and heroic and mean, all succeed each other in his plays, painted impartially for a public enabled at once to marvel and to learn. Shakespeare keeps his breath when he leaves London for Rome and Hollinst and Plutarch. Although no longer inspired by patriotism, he is inspired by the great names of ancient times. Coriolanus, Brutus, Julius Caesar, Antony, Cleopatra. His first care still is to breathe new life into famous men and great events. He succeeds in representing the past with the human truth so deep and with vibe so intense that his work has become complementary to that of the scholar. With him, historical drama reaches its climax in such scenes that in which the Roman mob, after effluding Brutus, is almost immediately turned against him by moving eloquence of Antony, so that men weep at the sight of Caesar's body and cry out death to the conspirators. Shakespeare's universality. It would be wrong to identify Shakespeare with any of his characters. His supremacy lies in this, that he could see and understand so much of life, could fire the heart of so many passions without falling a prey to any aspect of life. So that we said of him that he is universal, and we dare not say what his personality, every phase of feeling, lay within the scope of Shakespeare's understanding and sympathy. There is no point of morals, of philosophy, of the conduct of life, and he has not touched upon. No mystery of human nature that he has not penetrated. Life and death, love, wealth, poverty, the prizes of life and the way we gain them, the characters of men and the influences and forces which affect them. On all these questions, Shakespeare has enriched the world with his thought. In his plays, we find poor mirth, bright and tender fancy, airy satire, ardent passion, questionings into the deep and terrible mysteries of life. In almost every play, we have the most diverse element, the high and the low, the great and the little, the noble and the base, the sad and the merry, brought under the dominance of one dramatic purpose. In Johnson's words, Shakespeare was not of an age, but of all time. So astonishingly widespread of his glory, that it might also be said that he was not of a land, but of all lands. Free of every theory, accepting all of life, rejecting nothing, uniting the real and the poetic, appealing to the most various men, to a rude workman as to a wit. Shakespeare's drama is a great river of life and beauty. The dialogue. Another element of the greatness of Shakespeare is the perfect naturalness of his dialogues. Shakespeare is a master of dramatic dialogue. As De Quincey says, every form of natural interruption, every form of hasty interrogative and ardent reiteration, when a question has been evaded, every form of scornful repetition of the hostile words, every impassioned continuation of the hostile statement, in short, all modes of formula by which anger, hurry, irritation, scorn, impatience, and excitement are expressed, these are plentiful in Shakespeare's dialogue, as in life itself, and how much they can add to the realistic effect of his drama is quite evident. Style. Shakespeare had an amazing genius for words. He shows unrivaled powers of expression. The beauty of words, the aptness and originality of phrases, the wealth of striking similes and metaphors, the felicities of language, the richness and sweetness of verse, these are found in his plays to an astonishing degree. There is on every occasion such multitudinous flow of words and images from Shakespeare's mind as nothing seems able to stop. Indeed, the foremost dramatist of his age was also the foremost poet. The union of dramatic and lyric elements in the plays is perfect, absolute, and beyond analysis. Beauty comes of the perfection of the style and the versification and the variety of images and the accompanying music. There is a true fine blending of words, metaphors, and lyrical passions in his blank verse. In the capital scenes of the great tragedies, the dialogue of Romeo and Juliet, Hamlet's soliloquies, the scene of awakening of Othello's jealousy, of Leo's passionate railings, or Macbeth's hallucinations. Shakespeare's mastery of the grand style is unmistakable. Shakespeare possessed in a superlative degree of the faculty of compressing thought into language so memorable and so final that he is the most often quoted of all English writers. Indeed, his command over the resources of the language was unique. His vocabulary runs to some 15,000 words, while that of Milton contains scarcely more than half that number.